Our scripture, I'm reading Isaiah 32, verse 17, and Hebrews 11, verse 6. Isaiah 32, 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm looking forward to our sermon today and learning a little bit about what is a Mallinson.
Well, this is our 12th day here, so y'all put me on the hot seat right off the get. I don't know how people hear rumors, but they get around somehow. But it's sure been a joy. When you know the Lord's leading, you can't help but get excited. I'm sure Pastor Torres is feeling that right now, that the Lord's leading, and you have all the confidence. People will say things that they shouldn't say maybe sometimes, but we know that through the power of God and the Holy Spirit, we're not talking human. Amen? I'm just going to spend a quick minute, since you all don't know us. My wife and I, we originally came from Vermont. I worked for the VA hospital, and I retired out there. We came to Washington because her mom had Parkinson's and needed 24/7, so we took care of her for 3 years. And she passed away in May, and that's when the journey began, and it's a long story. There's been a few who heard it, but those who heard it know there's a lot of miracles, and we're here by divine appointment. I'm not totally sure yet why we're here, but we're here, so praise the Lord for that. We were involved for the last 7.5 years in prayer ministry out in Vermont. I was assistant director to the prayer coordinator for the Northern New England Conference, and then in Washington, personal ministries and prayer coordinator for there. So we've really learned to understand and appreciate the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit, and how much we need him. So if we get nothing out of today, I sure hope that we can see the need that we have. The problem with us is if we don't sense a need for something, we don't pursue it. Is that true? If I'm hungry, I'm looking for food. If I just had dinner, I'm not even thinking of food, hopefully. I used to, though. Sometimes I couldn't wait till the next meal. But anyways, that's just a brief thing. So we're involved with prayer ministry. Eileen did a newsletter at our last church. I do want to preface, everything that God does is for love. Do you agree with that? Even if we do not understand it, it looks horrible to us. We say that's a terrible thing because God is blamed for a lot of things that aren't his fault. So when God gives us warnings, when God gives us advice in his word and through prophecy, he's doing it because he wants each and every one of us to spend eternity with him. And we all need to hear different things at different times. We're not all on the same plane at the same time, right? Like music, there's songs that at different times in our life, if we're going through certain troubles, certain songs have a lot of meaning to us. We go through a different time in life and different songs have a lot of meaning. But we love them all regardless. So we're going to start with a few quotes that the Lord has given us to wake us up, if it applies. Some of this might not apply to you. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. So we're going to look at a couple of these, and they're worth praying over. And they're serious. Troublous times soon to come. The time of trouble, which is to increase until the end, is very near at hand, and we have no time to lose. The world is stirred with the spirit of war. The prophecies of the 11th of Daniel have almost reached their final fulfillment. Everywhere are seen wrecks of humanity, broken down family altars, ruined homes. There's a strange abandonment of principle. The standard of morality is lowered and the earth is fast becoming a Sodom. We are nearing the end when the earth is to be purified by fire. In the United States, our blessings can turn into a curse when we start having what we call sins of omission, just taking things for granted. We just assume everything is owed to us, and that's not the way it is. Most of us are pretty comfortable, even if we're in trouble. But when we look around the world, and we looked even in the United States, binge drinking. You know what binge drinking is? That's when people drink five or more drinks as fast as they can to see how fast they can get drunk. Has now been, the average age is 12 years old in the United States. We have 2,700 teenage pregnancies a day. Three women a minute are being raped in the United States. And I could go on and on with the statistics. So it's not a pretty world. Not a pretty world at all. Our morality is decreasing. As it says, in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in these days, in the days of Noah. And we're living in those times. We can bring Sodom and Gomorrah into our houses. We don't even have to live anymore, right? Press a button, we got it. And there's 207 pornography movies made every week worldwide, and there's over 3 million porno sites. So that gives you an idea. If you don't think Sodom and Gomorrah is available, it's there. We are in the shaking time. This was written in 1900. We are in the shaking time, the time when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The Lord will not excuse those who know the truth if they do not, in word and deed, obey His commands. And I would submit that everything is about worship and obedience. We look through the Bible all the way from Lucifer being cast out of heaven, Adam and Eve. It wasn't because they ate a fruit off the tree, it's because God said, don't do that. Do you agree? Worship and obedience. God says He wants us to trust Him 100%, even if it doesn't make sense. And that takes some tribulations at times to get there to where our faith can increase. The season of distress and anguish before us will require a faith that can endure weariness, delay, and hunger, a faith that will not faint, though severely tried. The time of trouble such as never was is soon to open upon us, and we shall need an experience which we do not now possess, and which many are too indolent to obtain. Indolence, an interesting word. It is often the case that trouble is greater in the anticipation than in reality, but this is not true of the crisis before us. The most vivid presentation cannot reach the magnitude of the ordeal. And so this may apply to some, may not, but this is what indolent means: having or showing a disposition to avoid exertion, slothful, or inactive. If you get to know me, which I hope to do, I hope to get to know everyone, because just about everybody smiles in this church, so I'm not sure what that means yet, but it's sure refreshing. But I do like to be challenged, and I like to challenge people, so I hope that's okay. Is that all right with y'all? Yeah, amen's good, too. You don't have to be a Baptist to say amen. That's good. But many who are engaged in the sacred word of God are paralyzed by Satan's deceptions. They are asleep on the enchanted ground. Days and months are passing while they remain careless and unconcerned. One of the biggest things Satan does, in my opinion, is he has desensitized us a whole lot. That we hear horrible things on the news. If somebody tells us somebody dies or whatever, and it's kind of like, wow, that's terrible, whatever. We should have a prayer for them. And then we go and say, what are we going to have for supper? It's like it doesn't faze us. He's just desensitized us. The day is fast approaching when the case of everyone will be decided according to his works. Many have a fearfully spotted record in the ledger of heaven. So Satan has twin enemies that he constantly uses to create the FUDs in us and weaken our faith and take away our confidence in Jesus. And Luke told me, as long as I have you all out of here by 3, I'm safe. Is that right? just kidding. If I have to, I'll put my New York into it and we'll speed it up. These weapons, these twin enemies, are doubt and fear that create the FUDs in us. Now, what does doubt and fear have to do with Christ, our righteousness, and our relationship with Christ and us going to heaven? So what are the FUDs? Somebody asked me that. You ready? Ready, Luke? Fear, uncertainty, and doubts. We all have the FUDs at times, right? Might not even be with the Lord, but we have it. God will never, I repeat, He'll never place doubt in our minds. God wants to give us peace, confidence, and assurance. You agree? No doubt, nowhere in the holy biblical record does God want us to have any doubt of who He is, what He promises, what our responsibility is in accepting that free gift. Because we do have conditions for that gift once we receive it, right? It's not a once saved, always saved like a lot of people think. If that was the case, God has a big problem. That means he has to let Satan back into heaven, right? Because at one time he was a saved being, but he rebelled, and sin will not go back to heaven. Do you agree? Only one thing goes back to heaven. That's us having a heart after God and developing God's character. In 1 Corinthians 13, remember at the end it says, of these three that abide, faith, hope, and charity, which is the greatest? Charity. That charity is agape love, right? Why do you think he says that's the greatest? When Jesus comes to take us home, we don't have to hope no more, do we? We don't have to have the faith that he's going to come anymore. But we have to have his love. If we don't have his love, we're being deceived. If we think it's okay just to do nothing, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we chose to be disciples of the Lord. That means we chose a new lifestyle, and we chose to be full-time Christians and not part-time Christians. Amen? Having the FUDs will not give us the peace, assurance, and the confidence that God wishes for us. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Having the FUDs robs us of the faith we must have in God to be victorious and to trust God to the fullest. How important is faith in our walk with the Lord? How do we get faith? Do I need faith? The faith we need is unwavering, without doubt or fear. Do you agree? Now, we may not have that yet, but if we have a heart after God and we are pursuing that, you know, the Lord tells us we need to seek earnestly, right? What does it mean to seek earnestly and diligently?
Constantly.
I'll give an analogy that we as humans could probably understand better. If I was to tell you today, which I didn't because I'm not that rich, but if I told you today there was $50,000 hidden in a little blue box somewhere in this church and the first person that finds it can have it, we would see earnest, diligent in action, right? And so, but his word, our salvation is worth more than $50,000, amen? So we should really be seeking that. So if we're not, we just need to be honest with God, get past the denial, ask the Lord to change the desire of our hearts. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Ask in faith with no doubting. This kind of faith we must have to endure until the end of time, and we need it now. Faith and prayer choose the request to be prayed for, thus determining what God is to do. Faith deals with God's word, lays hold of the truth. Faith believes, thus saith the Lord. Do we believe, thus saith the Lord? There's so many promises in the Bible to give us peace and joy. If we claim those in faith. No man is safe for a day or an hour without prayer. This is a quote. We should study the Bible with humility of heart, never losing sight of our dependence upon God. We should pray in faith continually. That sister just said that. Amen to you. Lead us not into temptation. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, in the Old Testament times, the hearing, because they didn't have Bibles like we do all over the place and stuff, they went into the synagogue and they opened the scriptures and they discussed, so they heard what was there. Jesus has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit and praying, but we need to be into the Word of God. Faith rests its whole weight on God's Word. We as a Christian have no defense except the Bible. Do you agree? We take the Bible as the Word of God. If you have doubt in the Bible, see me afterwards, and I'll give you some evidence that should strengthen your confidence. We cannot have doubt in God's word. It's crucial. It's crucial. Doubt and fear have no place in true praying. They are weapons of Satan to draw us away from God. The minute you start doubting something, we have probably 80% of our prayers in the Adventist church anyways. I don't know about other denominations. Are for sickness, illness, health issues. We have a great health message. The Bible has a great health message. And a lot of times we pray, But we look in 3 John 2 and he says, Beloved, that's you, each of your name. You put your name and he says, Beloved, I wish above all for you to prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospered. So we know it's God's will. We don't know all the details. We don't know if it's a resurrection day or it's now or whatever. But we know it's God's will. So we should pray in faith that he will answer that prayer in his time. And whatever way he decides to answer it, we need to come back to this faith. We need to have trust. If it isn't the way we hoped for, that doesn't mean it's not the right way, correct? We have to understand God's will. Doubts and fears will hinder effective praying. They are lies of the devil. So I will submit to you today, when you walk and you're praying and you're talking about God, the very second you even get any doubt coming in, you're looking at stuff and you doubt, or does God love me? And you start to doubt that, you throw that right out. You just rebuke Satan. That's the only talk you should have with Satan is rebuking him, right? You just tell him to get away from me in the name of Jesus Christ. You have been saved. You are a child of the God, but it's a day-by-day walk. Great faith and great prayer will bring spiritual life and success in the work of the church. So when we want to, a year from now, have 2-3 services on Sabbath because we don't have no room, that's what we do, right? In faith and prayer, we do what, if we become full-time Christians, it will happen. In Proverbs 29:18, remember it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Amen? Quote, above everybody and everything else, the church and the whole wide world of humanity need men of faith and mighty prayer. Doubt and fear should never be cherished or hidden. Our eyes must be taken off ourselves and fixed on God. Amen? It is unsafe to cherish doubt in the heart even for a moment. Quote, unquote. We must cry out as disciples did in Luke. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So how long must we pray for increased faith? Till all doubt is gone and trust fills that vacancy, until faith becomes sight. And when will faith become sight? What was that? Well, when we see Jesus, whether it's on Resurrection Day or if we're the ones alive when he comes, faith becomes sight, amen? And what a glorious sight. Can you imagine that day? That song says, what a day that will be, huh? My Jesus I shall see. Faith at times is nourished by painful trials. But remember, God is doing that out of love. He is no different than us as earthly parents. When we see our children going down a wrong path, what do we do if we're loving parents? We try to redirect them. We try to teach them. Is that correct? Why? Because we love them and we don't want them to get hurt. Now, they may think we're mean, and I might be the only child that said to my mom, but Mom, you don't understand. Why here? Well, if they jumped off a bridge, will you jump off the bridge? I said, you don't understand. But the older I got, the smarter my mother became. Quote, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We shall every one of us be tested and tried, and that's a fact. We've already been there, and we're going to have more of that coming. We need to be prepared for that. You agree? You can't be a prize fighter and then take a year off because you're this great winner, prize fighter, and some young guy comes and challenges and you step in the ring thinking you're going to take care of them because you got all that knowledge of how you should box. Things will be over for you real soon. But we shall, every one of us, be tested and tried. We have a rough pathway before us, but Jesus has traveled this way, and he knows just how to help us. Amen? We need faith. We need faith. Faith lightens our burdens and relieves our weariness by anticipation of heaven at our journey's end. Faith rejoices in hope, is patient in affliction. Faith waxes strong and valiant in conflict and conquers in the great fight of temptation. We must have a living faith, a faith that will hold the soul in the hour of trial. For everything that can be shaken will be shaken. This song, Faith is the Victory. You know, we've sung that many times before, probably. At least where we came from, we have. But this is the 7th inning stretch for those baseball fans out there. I'm a little strange at times. I do like to throw some songs and music into sermons once in a while. Kind of wakes me up, wakes you all up. And you can stand or sit, whatever you want to do with this, if you feel a need to stretch. But we're going to sing Faith is the Victory. Except this time, I hope that we hear the words and we put them in our hearts rather than it's just a really nice melody.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing sky. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all gird about. The earth shall tremble neath our tread and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Man, I've got a choir here. All right. It's so nice to hear. So we need to transform from being unbelieving sinners into praying, believing saints. Finish the work God has called us to help him finish. Amen? That's what we're called for. Jesus gave us a great commission, did he not? What was his commission to us? To go. Preach. Teach. Right? To baptize. But he gave us a great promise, which was what? He said, I will send you another comforter. Is that right? So true faith is one of the conditions of our salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith in what? We'll see. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Through the Spirit of God, Jesus will live in us, thus giving us the faith of Jesus. But we have to choose to let him in, amen? We have to, and we have to do it all the time. Sometimes you might have to do it 10 times a day. There's days that you struggle. But just remember that promise, my grace is sufficient. So when you're having a bad day and Satan's telling you, you know something, Mike, you've been through this 12 times. How many times do you think God wants to hear this? He wants to hear it every time that I confess until I get victory. So don't let the devil beat you up. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. By faith in Jesus, we are saved because then have the faith of Jesus. It's a day-by-day walk and a commitment to God. There's a big difference, two little words, in and of. We accept Jesus. We let him in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, correct? We want to be more like Jesus. But it's the faith of Jesus that gives us the victory because Jesus lived a perfect life. He conquered everything, and that's good news to us. We already have the victory. All we have to do is stay on the right side. Amen? There is therefore no condemnation to those them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A lot of times we hear the first part of this quote, but we don't hear about walking in the Spirit. And how do we walk in the Spirit? What do we have to do to walk in the Spirit?
Submit.
What else do we have to do? Pardon? Trust. All right. Got to make choices. Okay. We'll hit on that in a second. We're almost done. Christ and only Christ and His righteousness will obtain for us a passport into heaven. It's good news. We have good news. We've heard the bad stuff. Now we can hear the good stuff. It's good news. So we don't have to be sad, Venice. We can be glad, Venice. I know that's an old saying, but that's true. You know, Whitney Phipps has a great saying. He says, if you're happy in Jesus, notify your faith. There's nothing wrong with being a little excited about Jesus, is there? I think we've been taught that if we get a little excited, we're Pentecostal. Well, Pentecostal, according to the Bible, is a good thing. If you're thinking about the thing we're running, doing somersaults and speaking in all tongues, that's a different story. Faith and prayer can do no more to be separated than grace and mercy. Faith follows true prayer. Otherwise, there's no faith. Faith and trust must be married as they are the foundation of prayer. Do you believe that? Faith and trust must be married. They're the foundation of prayer. When we pray, is our trust in the Lord, do we say, I believe God can do this? Or do we say, I believe God will do this? Do we expect big things from God when we ask? Especially, there are things in the Bible that are very clear that it's His will. When He says, He's willing to give you the outpouring of the Holy Spirit more than we are to give good gifts to our children. Is that a lie? So if we're praying for that, should we expect that? And if we get that, what do you think will happen to us? We start getting a little excited. Yeah, it's kind of fun. Jesus taught that faith was the condition on which prayers are answered. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Remember, diligently. Running around looking for that 50,000. We've got to be intense. I ain't giving up till I get it. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Prayer and faith, quote, will do what no power upon earth can accomplish. We need not be so anxious and troubled. We must have more faith and trust in God. Starting a new ministry as this pastor, from what I don't understand, I heard a few things about it. It takes faith. It takes trust. These things aren't human. They're divine appointments. When they're divine appointments, He will give us the means. But Satan will try to discourage us from that. I mean, I heard great things about your church school here. That was one of the things when we first came, what they did to make that school happen. That took faith, work, prayer, and trust. So praise the Lord. Where we came from, our church school closed down. And they were given every opportunity like you. We even had all these books for everything, and nobody would go out and do nothing. And the school closed. So we see it, what happens when you step forward. We know that God prefers Christian education. It is not trust in the word of God, but trust in the person of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The only defense against evil is the indwelling of Christ in the heart through faith in His righteousness. Unless we become vitally connected with God, we can never resist the unhallowed effects of self-love, self-indulgence. Trust is not hope. Trust looks to the present, while hope looks to the future. So our failures are the result of three things, and we might add more, but there are three main things. Our lack of trust in God. And we have to be honest with that. I mean, I know and I still have to pray a lot of times to help my unbelief. I look at things. Coming down here was definitely a faith walk to, I never even heard of Sutherland. And praise the Lord, you know. But I'm already loving Sutherland. I've been here 12 days, and I'm happy to be that He moved me on. And I'm praising the Lord He didn't take me back east, although I would have went. But I don't like the weather back in Vermont. It's rough. Our weakness in faith and our lack of prayerfulness. A lot of us don't understand the power of prayer and what there is. As the pastor said in his last sermon about the gospel, it's simple but deep. Prayer is simple but deep. The disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. I don't know about you, but they were an elder in my church, and I'd seen them casting out demons and doing all the things they were doing. And they tell us, teach us to pray. And then Jesus looks at them and says, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. And I'd be wondering, I'm missing the boat somewhere. Because I don't know anybody here that's casting out demons. They may be doing that stuff or raising the dead, but we will. There will be a day where that'll happen for those who are faithful. Quote, you need to bring your soul into close communion with God by earnest prayer mixed with living faith. Every prayer offered in faith lifts the suppliant above discouraging doubts and human passions. Prayer gives strength to renew the conflict with the powers of darkness, to bear trials patiently, to endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ. I forgot to mention, everything is in the PowerPoint I have in print, so if anybody wants a copy of what's said up there, just see me afterwards and I'll give you a copy. I just do that because I'm human. I figure if I make a mistake, you can come and correct me. Challenge me. I like that. It is faith that connects us with heaven and brings us strength for coping with the powers of darkness. Look not to self, but to Christ. We need to have far less confidence in what man can do, far more confidence in what God can do for every believing soul. Amen?
Amen.
True faith, true prayer, how strong they are. They are as two arms by which the human suppliant lays hold upon the power of infinite love. Faith is trusting in God, believing that He loves us and knows what is for our best good. Faith acknowledges His ownership and accepts its blessings. We are bought with a price, right? We are God's. Remember the good news. If you leave with nothing else, remember this good news. Christ is our righteousness. He is our victory. But we must allow Him to come in through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I believe that in Christianity in general, we've gotten so many theologians that we've made the simple gospel truth so complicated that I think that's a lot of reasons people have doubt. Like, one day am I saved? It's not like He loves me not, He loves me, He loves me not. It doesn't work that way. Christ is an accomplished fact. Do you agree? He already gained the victory, which is our victory. So we hear justification, sanctification, imputed, imparted, and all these things. I remember the first time I heard that stuff, I had to go home and get a dictionary. I didn't know what imputed meant and what imparted meant. I'm saying, but I know I want to be with Jesus. So in the simplest form, I come by the power of the Holy Spirit impresses me that I need something different in my life and I need the Lord. So I come to Jesus Christ and accept Him as my Savior. Do the sinner's prayer, whatever title you like to put on it, but I confess my sins to the Lord. I now chose to walk in a new life. I want to turn my back to the world. And that's where the church body has to help a whole bunch with people, right? We have to help people. We have to love one another. So it's really simple. When we hear justification, what does that mean? What does that mean when you hear justification in the gospel? We're forgiven. We're pardoned. It is though nothing ever happened. That's good news because of what Jesus did, right? So we're accepting His righteousness. So when God looks at you and me, He sees that nice white robe wrapped around me. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? But while we are justified, while He says you are pardoned, Luke, Mike, whoever, now I'm going to make you fit for heaven because we got to get rid of some character flaws. You agree? You think we all have character flaws? Come on. Is there anybody here who doesn't have a character flaw? All right. So the Holy Spirit seeks to abide in each soul. If it is welcome as an honored guest, those who receive it will be made complete in Christ. That's a promise. That's a promise in the Bible. It's a day-by-day walk. It's a prayerful walk. And in the United States, I think most of us probably have more problems because we have it so good compared to people in the world. We talk about the problems we have, which we have, but they don't have those same problems in most of the world. People are starving to death. But even in the United States, you know, 4 years ago, one child, 12 years and younger, eight children 4 years ago, 12 and under, went to bed hungry every night in the United States. 4 years now, it's down to 5 children. But we all don't see that in Sutherland. And we may not see that in Roseburg. But I'll tell you what, you go to 128th Street in New York City, you go down to Harlem, and you start going to some places, and those who have been on missionary trips, they'll tell you story after story of people that are hungry and starving. 18,000 an hour worldwide estimated die of starvation, 55% under the age of 5. We have it pretty good. And the Lord tells us, we got a great message of hope for people, right? In one sense, in a context, we are responsible for that suffering out there if we're not doing what God has asked us to do. Because he would have been here if his church, worldwide I'm talking about, would do what he's asked to do. We need to get serious about it. And so how do we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Through earnest prayer. Do you agree with that? Do you think there is any other way that we can receive the indwelling of God's Spirit in us? Any arguments? That's the only way we can receive it, is it not? It's through sincere, earnest prayer. That means we have to be into the Word of God to know the truth. We have to be praying, and then we have to apply it. The Lord gives us knowledge not to be a smart theologian. Everything is for God's glory. Amen? Everything is for God's glory. So anything that God gives us more knowledge of, a deeper present truth understanding, is so we can go out and apply it and show the love of Christ to the world. It's not for us to be smart and argue and see who can throw what scripture at who and all that stuff. If you choose to be a Pharisee, that's your choice. But God doesn't want us to be like that. So in closing, you can say amen to that. That's okay. We finished with one of the quotes from the beginning. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. If anybody has any doubt of their assurance with the Lord every day, maybe it's because you know you're not doing what God has asked you to do. That should make us a little nervous if we're doing it knowingly but turning our back to it. Now, I'll confess, you know, I have things that I've been struggling with for years. And I've had a lot of those things. Some of them I was able to give up pretty easy, and some of them I enjoyed too much. And so I've learned, like David in Psalm 51, created me a new heart, you know what I mean? Clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. We can ask the Lord to change our hearts, right? Our desires, because is it not his desire for us to give up sin? Amen. Closing song. 3:30, I believe. And thanks for being gracious. I didn't have to go to 3. I went a little late. I don't know your timetables yet, so. And you don't have to stand if you don't like to. We can lift our voices up sitting down. But the words of the song, I hope it is the song and the prayer of each of us here today. Take my life and let it be. 3:30. Take my life and let it be consecrated, God, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee.
Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thy own, it shall be thy royal throne, it shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour, at thy feet its treasures store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that song just says we need to give you our all, every part of us. You gave all to us and you ask us to give all to you, Lord. So we do invite the presence of your Holy Spirit into our lives. And it's our prayer, Father, that when we are drifting or not doing what we're supposed to do, that your Holy Spirit will come and remind us, Lord. Bring us back to where we need to be. Keep us focused. And Lord, for us who may be part-time Christians, convert our souls that we're full-time Christians, that we go out and we're intentional about you, not accidental, Lord. And I'd like to also lift up Pastor Therese, Father, and his new ministry. We know that we need your power and your love to guide it. Give him your heavenly wisdom, your discernment. We know that there will be spiritual battles fought, Lord, but we also know how the book ends, and we thank you for that. May each of us go in peace today, knowing how much you love us, that your righteousness will carry us through. In Jesus' holy name, amen.